You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's countdown to kickoff, and it's a rarity tonight, boys. We actually have an interesting Thursday night football contest. Although last week wasn't too bad with the Bucs and Pats, it turned out not to be the most entertaining football game yet. Nevertheless, a big game tonight across the board, man. Both teams coming into this game tonight with a 4-1 record. The Carolina Panthers have quietly put together a 4-1 run right now, and Cam Newton's put together a hell of a run over the last couple of weeks. We're going to be breaking it down in its entirety, all right? We're sending it to Las Vegas. Teddy Cover steps up and in. Going to break it down from a betting perspective. Jake Seeley, one of the best in the business, joins us. We'll break it down from a DFS perspective. Then Joe Lisi steps up and then breaks down the Lafayette, Texas State game, which might be the worst televised game in the history of television, which is actually saying something. Like, for the love of God, man, we've got a Texas State are on national television. Texas State. Yeah, Texas State are that bad. Texas State sounds like a football team that's in like an Adam Sandler movie or something like that, but they're actually a real football team. Well, they're a team. Although I shouldn't talk too much smack because last night South Alabama stepped up in it. You never know in the belt, man. And when I say the belt, I mean the Sun Belt. All right? You never know. Sometimes you're gonna take the belt. And that's what happened last night to us. Thanks for coming, Troy. I swear, hey, that punk-ass kicker, you know what? You have one job, all right? Your job. I get it. You're a dumb kid. You're a dumb kid kicker at Troy. I don't expect you to be making 52-yarders. But if you're going to be missing 27-yarders or so, then you better start kicking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, son, because that's not accepted around here. You know, like I tweeted last night, I would have pulled the kid aside. I said, listen, kid, if you miss another field goal like that, I don't know what to tell you besides, listen, we're going to revoke your scholarship and kick you off the team. pretty simple. You know, the level of mediocrity that is accepted in today's society, it has to stop. My bad. Oh, sorry. Next time. There are no my bads. There are no next times. All we deal is in the now. You either do it or you step aside and you let somebody else do it that can do it. All right? And, you know, I don't know, kid. You want to walk around on campus and stuff. These books don't pay for themselves. You got to make the damn kicks. All right? Make the damn kicks. Anyways. All right. What else do we got going on? Joe Lisi is going to step up and in. And, yeah, we're not going to talk too much about the Texas State game, but we do have some interesting football games on the board tomorrow night. Wazoo's on the board tomorrow night. I think we got an upset alert right there. Clemson's on the board against Syracuse. I don't think we have an upset alert right there. But let's get right down to business right now. As it has been a strange National Football League season so far. We're heading into Week 6 right now, but does anybody really have a handle on this? Does anybody have a handle? It's been a weird season. It's been a weird season in reality, and it's been a weird season in fantasy as well. Fantasy football, a lot of carnage, injuries, big-time players not getting it done. The running back position is a weird one on a weekly basis. There's a lot of mid-tier quarterbacks that are killing it fantasy purposes. And then you look at the standings, and everything's upside down right now, man. All right, there wasn't anybody in the freaking world that thought the New York Jets were going to be in first place at this time of the year. Nobody. Not even the New York Jets, okay? Yet, here they are. Are they going to be in first place for much longer? No. New England's going to slap them around big time. The Jet is getting grounded, all right, on Sunday. What about the Jacksonville Jaguars? Jaguars are in first place right now. They might not be going anywhere, all right? And I'm really looking forward to this game this week against the Rams. Very similar upstart football teams that have struggled in the past couple of years but have racked up a ton of draft picks. You look at the Rams, they have all that talent on the offensive side of the football. You look at the Jags, they have all that talent on the defensive side of the football. Now they're clashing. I tell you what, man, this is the biggest football game in Jacksonville since, like, the Mark Brunell era, all right? Tom Coughlin's, returns to town, and things are going in the right direction. And the offensive coordinating is so damn bad in the National Football League right now that suddenly Nate Hackett's not the worst OC in the league. I don't know. I guess that goes to Todd Downing. Downing's a downer in Oakland. Yeah, good job firing Bill Musgrave. And I don't know, man, Todd Monken. Well, I don't know. Todd Monken, I'd rather have a monkey calling the plays than Todd Monken. But nevertheless, I digress. So here we are right now. Is it real? Is it fake? You know, what are these teams? I don't know. I know the Kansas City Chiefs still haven't lost. And if you ask me right now who the best teams in football are, I have to say the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers, which would be epic if they actually played each other in the Super Bowl because for you youngsters, and I know you youngsters don't care, but Green Bay and Kansas City played in Super Bowl I, played in the first ever Super Bowl. So it'd be pretty cool to see these guys hook up again. But there's a lot of stuff, a lot of football left to be played, a lot of real estate left before we start putting anybody in the Super Bowl right now, which leads us to tonight's teams with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Carolina Panthers. Don't look now, man, but the Carolina Panthers look like they're almost back. But are they? You know, listen, they just got it done on the road two consecutive weeks. Cam Newton strung together the two best two-game run of his freaking career, and we're talking about an MVP-caliber player right here. Now, Mark Lawrence joins us every Wednesday on the program, and if you're smart, you pay attention. And Mark Lawrence said something a couple of times, and he said this at the IFBC in Costa Rica over the summer that we spoke at as well. The last 14 teams to lose in the Super Bowl and then miss the playoffs the following year have all made the playoffs the following year after that. 14 times in a row. Team loses the Super Bowl hangover, doesn't make the playoffs. Following year, they made the playoffs 14 consecutive freaking times, which means the Carolina Panthers are astounding and feeling and looking like a playoff team right now. You look at this division, the Saints are okay. Saints are going to be sort of in the mix, but the Saints aren't on the Panthers level, and they're not on the Falcons level. The Bucs are the Bucs, all right? I don't know. I think the Bucs are Florida's version of the Detroit Lions, essentially. The Bucs are the Bucs. We are who they think they are, basically, okay? When it's all said and done, this Carolina Panthers team's a dangerous team. And you can't discount Philadelphia either. Philadelphia, guys, and Carson Wentz doesn't get the love that he deserves, but Philadelphia is a player or two away from being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Their secondary still gives up too much chunks. They give up the third most yards per play, passing attempt. That's a problem. But this Philadelphia Eagle team is a dangerous one as well. And I tell you what, a lot of the games have been pretty boring in the National Football League this year. But the way that everything's falling into place and the playoff picture and the Super Bowl chase will be anything but boring. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We've got a stacked house on the program today. Jake Seeley will join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk some fantasy football. We'll break down tonight's game from a DFS perspective. But then we'll also talk about week six. I see Jake's got a couple of very interesting sleepers on the board this week. Joe Lisi will join us. We'll talk some college football. Got a college football game on tap this evening. It's nothing you're going to be interested in unless you're laying it down, and we will be laying it down on this game. Tetsa Vransky will join us. We're just connecting with Teddy right now in Las Vegas, Nevada. I mentioned off the top, we've got a big football game tonight. Philadelphia Eagles, this line surprises me a little bit this evening with the line movement. It's been bouncing around from 3 to 3.5 for the last day and a half or so. Seriously, like every time you hit refresh, it's a 3, and then it's a 3.5. You hit refresh, it's a 3, then it's a 3.5. Yet it seems to sort of be settling in at 3 right now. And what surprises me is that the total keeps coming down. 44.5's on the board right now. I actually think there's going to be some points this evening. Both quarterbacks are playing elite football right now. Philadelphia Eagles aren't stopping anybody through the air. I think Funches and Benjamin both can have big games tonight. Let's bring in Ted Savransky right now. Okay, Teddy Covers from Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, Gabe. How about yourself today?
Hey, good stuff, Teddy. You know, a lot of stuff to break down today. I like it, for the daily players, so to speak. Let's start off with some baseball, though, actually. Last night, Yankees win, playing with house money. They go into Cleveland. I cashed a ticket last night. I didn't trust Corey Kluber, and I swear, Teddy, I know the Cleveland Indians, they win a million games in a regular season. I swear, I must have been on every one of Kluber's losses this year. So I sort of had a little bit of, I don't trust this guy. And in game two, I bet against him. And I said it again, you know, coming in yesterday, I don't trust this guy. And then boom, you know, I'm not going to blame Corey Kluber, but nevertheless, Yankees played with house money. It was nice to cash a big dog like that.
Oh, sure, and cash it relatively easily, you know, where the Indians, I mean, they cut the lead to 3-2. They had the one rally, and that was it, you know. So, I mean, that Yankees bullpen, which has basically ranks number one or number two in Major League Baseball in every meaningful category. You want to talk ERA, you want to talk WAR, you want to talk XFIP, whatever it is. The Yankees bullpen has been there, and once again, last night and throughout the course of the series, with the exception of that Game 2 loss, a pretty dominant bullpen performance from the New York Yankees, a bullpen that should be good once again against the Astros.
And they're going to need it against the Houston Astros. I haven't seen a series price. I've seen a game price, and normally the Game 1 prices are generally what the series price is. But I know we got Sonny Gray versus Dallas Keuchel on the hill. I like the starting pitching advantage that the Houston Astros have. But as you just mentioned, the bullpen is a major advantage for the New York Yankees. And bullpens, you know, I guess chicks dig the long ball, but managers dig good bullpens in October because that's how you win World Series championships.
Nothing matters more. You know, I mean, if you even look at the, you know, the Game 5 today between the Cubs and the Nationals, you can spend all the time you want analyzing the starting pitching matchup in that game. What's going to determine who's going to win is which bullpen is better.
You're right. Inning 6-9.
Win. You know, especially as you get later into series when you have a win or go home situation where every pitcher is available. You know, it doesn't matter who Dusty Baker or Joe Maddon would need in this contest. It's still a situation where maybe the starting pitching matchup's a little bit overemphasized. I have seen a number, by the way, for the Yankees Astros. First number that I saw.
65?
Minus 170.
I was close. Yeah, I figured minus 165. See, because it's minus 185 in game one, but that would be a little bit high for the series price. I'm still going to stick with the Astros right now. Yankees are playing with house money, but I think this is Houston's time right now.
I'm with you 100%. The Astros have been the best team in the, you know, forget September. For the entirety of the season, the Astros were the best team in the American League. You talk about one late acquisition that has made an enormous difference in that locker room, and that's Justin Verlander. You know, they believe in Justin Verlander, and every time he's on the hill, look, they won every game.
Yeah, very interesting. It's interesting to go with Keuchel, actually, in game one. All right, so Cubs and Nationals, you just mentioned everyone's going to be available. Specifically, Max Scherzer is going to be available, Teddy, today for Dusty Baker. And it's amazing how things change so quickly in sports, but especially in baseball. The passion, the tension, everything's just, you know, so heated. I love it. In which, Teddy, was only, what, about 4 days ago that they wanted Joe Girardi's head on a platter in New York. No, they were like, you know what, just leave, Joe. You're not under contract next year. No one's commenting. It's one of these deals. Even Girardi's like, I don't know, man, if they're going to want me back. It was one of those deals. Chapman's on Instagram and Twitter retweeting that Girardi's an idiot and should be fired. So, and here we are right now. And, Teddy, was it only about 24 hours ago that Dusty Baker's an idiot and Steven Strasburg's soft? Nationals are chokers. And now here we are in a Game 5 setting. It's amazing, man, what a couple hours can do.
Well, Dusty Baker's still an idiot. I mean, look, I'm not a guy. You know me, Gabe. I usually take the player's side and all these, oh, the players are idiots. No. You know, I'm never the guy that's like, this manager's a jerk, this coach is costed, blah, blah, blah. You know, Dusty Baker deserves all the criticism that he gets. And the shenanigans yesterday with, is Strasburg going to start? Is he not going to start? It's just typical Dusty Baker. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So when you talk about Baker versus Joe Maddon in a win-or-go-home situation, that's minus $2 for Chicago. You know, it really is when it comes to which manager do I trust to make the right decisions. But we talked about bullpens. The Cubs' bullpen's been a disaster area in this series. You know, Washington has scored three runs in the first seven innings.
And the Cubs aren't scoring in the series at all. Their offense is struggling in its entirety. What about Gio Gonzalez? You trust him here?
I mean, if Gonzalez gets in trouble, it'll be Scherzer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't overemphasize starting pitching in game five.
And they've got Tanner Roark as well. I mean,
of course.
Yeah, he can eat up a couple of innings for you. He's not terrible or anything. You know, I agree with you. I brought it up the other night. I don't want to live in the past, but I brought up the other night, right after the game, when a game was delayed, you know, everyone's like, all right, Washington buys a break. You know, Dusty Baker, you don't have to answer the media because they ask you who's going to pitch tomorrow. He could have just said, I don't know. We'll see you tomorrow. Instead, oh, he throws it out there. And then, well, Strasburg told me he's not feeling well. It was like, holy crap, dude. I know, like, you couldn't have handled it any worse. And then, but then Rizzo's the same way, the GM. He's going on talk radio and defending it. It's like, guys, why are you even talking to the media? Just say, I don't know. You'll find out tomorrow. You know?
I'm with you, you know, and yeah. But it speaks to a disconnect between what's happening in the front office, what's happening in the dugout, and maybe what the players themselves are thinking. So you don't like to see those type of disconnects when we're talking about October baseball.
I'm going with the Nationals. I'm playing contrarian here. The team that always chokes is going to get it done this evening. I like the Scherzer angle. I really do. Dusty's got more in the toolbox tonight to work with.
Until I see the Nats actually win one of these games at home, and they've had ample opportunities, their track record is bad enough that I want no part of Washington. Again, they are a different manager, different team. No, the key components of that team, they've been there for half decade now, you know, and when it comes to coming through in a winner-go-home situation, I haven't seen a whole lot of that from the Washington Nationals. So you might have the Nats. Not with my money, my friend.
Well, you know, I wasn't asking for it, but if you're offering, could I use your money on the Carolina Panthers then tonight?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to tell my bookie. It's on, you know, Ted Savransky in Vegas. Put it on his credit line. there's an episode of Seinfeld. It's great. Kramer had a gambling problem, so he was betting Jerry's money. So he comes in. He's like, Jerry, I just put $5,000 on the Knicks game for you. He's like, what? He's like, you know I have a gambling problem. I can't bet. And it won, too. It's a stupid little episode, but it was funny. All right, so Eagles and Panthers tonight. Interesting football game tonight, Teddy. Carolina's quietly become 3-1. I read your power poll, and I enjoyed the rankings. You look at Cam Newton, man. He's throwing together arguably the two best games of his career. And we talk about what a difference time can make. A couple of weeks ago, you know, Cam Newton was lumbering out there, man. He was getting beat up. He was lying face first on the ground against the Buffalo Bills. I was like, man, this guy might be out again. It looked so bad. But he's suddenly standing upright. He looks stronger. He's got a zip on the football. He's definitely getting healthier right now. And this Carolina Panther team, two big wins on the road. Now they go home tonight, laying 3 points.
Yeah, and look, it's a Panthers squad. There are teams that come out of the gate and they struggle offensively. You go, hey, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, a good handful of teams. You know, the Cleveland Browns. We're not going to see Cleveland, you know, all of a sudden start to blow up offensively right now. They are what they are. Jacksonville is still going to have Blake Bortles at the quarterback position. You know, teams like Miami with offensive line issues. You know, the offenses aren't going to get fixed. They were broken coming into the season, and they're still broken as we're entering week six. That's not the case for the Carolina Panthers. This was an offense that had all kinds of issues in the offseason. And Cam Newton wasn't healthy. He didn't get to work in with the starters. And they looked very sluggish. You know, you talked about that Buffalo game where, yep. Where the point spread outcome determined by Cam Newton missing a wide-open receiver in the end zone.
Yep.
The type of throw that we expect Cam Newton to make. They ended up winning the game. They didn't cover the number. But obviously since then, what we've seen is an MVP-level quarterback finding his MVP-level form. I'm not stepping in front of Cam Newton tonight. No way. This is a hot QB who is finding his rhythm. And it's going with that. I mean, look, I give the Eagles a ton of credit. The last 3 weeks, you know, with the impressive wins and covers, they beat the Giants, the Chargers, in Arizona. You could call those the three most disappointing teams in the NFL this season. You know, maybe they're with Pittsburgh and the like. But it's not like Philly's been beating good teams in good form. They're beating weaker teams in bad form. Now we're talking about a short week, a banged up secondary, and they're facing a quarterback who I'm pretty comfortable with. So at three, yeah, for me, Carolina's a clear choice. 3.5, not so clear.
Teddy, like where you go with that, Teddy. Not to mention Lane Johnson, his absence. What is that? What that meant? You know, the I'm not even going to try to say the guy's name that replaced him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the guy.
They've been abbreviating his name as V.
Yeah, V. Yeah, we call him Vitae. That's what I guess people in Philly call Vitae. So, we all know who we're talking about. But he actually looked good last week when he stepped in. No QB hurries under him. But, Lane Johnson has been a big thing. Fletcher Cox going to be a game-time decision tonight. You mentioned it. The Eagles, they've looked very good. And Carson Wentz a freaking stud, guys. He really is. A QB rating of 137.8 on third down, man. Best in the NFL. He's hard to bring down, this guy. He's not known as a mobile quarterback, but great pocket presence and sense. He's just one of these. He's a big dude. He sort of moves and, like, steps forward, steps backwards, pushes guys off of him. I'm very impressed with Carson Wentz. But, as you stated, Teddy, they haven't played great teams. And another thing is, they played relatively well every week this year, which is incredibly hard to do, Teddy. No team shows up. Every team has that game where it's like, oh, boy, that was an ugly one. I don't know what happened there. Every team has it. And now we're into week 6. Philadelphia hasn't had that game yet. I sort of think that tonight's this is that game where Wentz sort of gets confused and angry, interception. Cam Newton's doing the Superman stuff. The short weeks as well. Just blindly, 68% of the time, the home team has won on Thursday nights.
Yeah, but if you're looking at this season so far, you're seeing the underdogs, and particularly the road teams, having some success on Thursday night. What happened week one? Kansas City goes to New England and wins straight up as an underdog. What happens week two? Houston goes to Cincinnati and wins straight up as an underdog. What happens in week three? L.A. goes to San Fran
as a road favorite
and wins the game. So the only home team that we've seen get the win and cover so far this season has been the Green Bay Packers over the Chicago Bears last week.
All right, Teddy, very quickly on this next game because it kind of blows, but it's on the board. I don't know, maybe there's some value here. You think Texas State, ULL?
Texas State's one of the worst teams in college football.
I know.
And again, you can make money sometimes in the NFL betting on your Jets or your Bears or your Browns given the right spot. In college football, I really do my best to avoid the absolute bottom feeder teams. I don't think there's any money to be made with a squad like the Texas State Bobcats.
So that doesn't sound like you trust the Raging Cajuns either. I got burnt with Troy last night. You lay a lot of points with bad football teams, you get what you deserve sometimes, right?
The only good game Troy played all year came against LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, they really haven't looked good in any other contest. Go through their game log. It's pretty ugly.
Yeah. All right. One thing, though, I'm looking at the total tonight. Listen. ULL are averaging 50 points a game on their home field. They score 37 points a game. Bad news is they give 46 up. It's hard to do. They give up 46 points a game. But Texas State can't score. I imagine the Cajuns beat them up a little bit tonight, Teddy. But, yeah, this is for the faint of heart and D-gens only. But we'll have some picks for you at the end of the day on this one. All right, so...
Just real quick, be wary of the average numbers for Louisiana Lafayette. They did play that crazy, overtime game against Monroe.
I know. It's a tough one. And we have a fun NFL game, and I see a lot of good props tonight on the board too, Teddy, in the NFL game. So no need to force it, but I wanted to bring it up. What do you make of the Steelers and the Chiefs game? It's funny. There's sort of that circle the wagon mentality around the Pittsburgh Steelers, or at least that's what a lot of bettors are trying to project on them. This is sort of that big bounce back when you count them out. Big Ben always bounces back. Big Ben sounds like he's trying to fool himself. He wanted to retire. They talked him out of it. Last week after the game, I don't have it anymore. He was beaten down and defeated. Now he's walking it back. I feel great. No. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, we know what's going on here. I mean, this guy is on the brink here, Teddy, right now. He really is. And I'm not just buying in if they're going to turn on a switch here with this game. I think the line's too low. So I'm surprised it's this number. What do you make of the point spread here?
I'm very surprised it's too low. It smells bad it's so low.
Yeah.
Okay. My powering number here is a 7.
Yeah.
And my powering numbers aren't off 3 points in NFL games. Okay.
So it's like the odds makers are worried. Exactly. They're trying to entrap us, aren't they?
The markets are saying this is Pittsburgh's spot. The antithesis of last week, where the money came pouring in against the Steelers. Now, if you look at Big Ben and his home road splits,
yeah,
I mean, they're stunning. They're shocking. You know, he's thrown more than one touchdown pass, I think, twice in his last, like, dozen road games. You know, Pittsburgh's offense hasn't worked yet this season. They're going up against a team that, I don't care what power ratings you're looking at, the Chiefs have to be number one, you know. Doesn't matter what you can make whatever argument for number two team. Kansas City has been the best team in the NFL this year.
By far.
And this line, again, is very, very short based on what my powering numbers tend to say. So if the Steelers get in, it is the Steelers spot. Sure, last week was the Steelers spot too, and they lost by three touchdowns as home favorites.
A little bit concerned about the Travis Kelce absence. I am assuming he's going to be out, which, you know, could be an issue, but... But still, KC, they're just so good. They have so many weapons. Kelsey's out. Tyreek Hill is going to make plays now suddenly. Like, they just, and it's crazy, Teddy. Alex Smith, if the season ended today, it'd be hard to say he's not the MVP.
No, I'm with you, Hunter. I don't think there's any question that right now Alex Smith is the MVP of the league.
You know, it's funny. After the first game of the year when he lit it up, we had a guy, Jason Braddock, on. He's a great football guy. He's a talk show host in Houston. The guy lives, breathes football. And Braddock, you know, he knows about the odds and stuff. So he sent me a message. Yo, Gabe, what's Alex Smith to win MVP? And I go, oh, it's 80 to 1. I said, come on, Jace. It was just one game last night, the Thursday nighter, right? I'm like, I said, he ain't winning the MVP. He goes, I don't think it's just one game. I'm telling you, man. He goes, watch out for this offense. And then, boom, here we are right now. I'd love to get an 80 to 1 right now on Alex Smith.
Well, of course, an 80 to 1 at the time was incredibly short. You know, that's 500 to 1.
I know.
1,000 to 1.
Because, well, you had the four touchdown night, right? So I was like, still, come on, you know? All right, so.
80 to 1's a ripoff line, man.
Pats and Jets. No one's getting rich laying the big spreads with the Pats, but I think the Jets get grounded here this week, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets have owned New England. From a point spread perspective, not
yeah,
a straight-up perspective. But, you know, they've given New England fits in recent years. That being said, the 3-2 Jets, I don't know if they win another game this season. You know, and remember, don't underestimate how good a situation the Jets have been in the last couple of weeks. All right, to win these three consecutive contests. The Jets, what'd they get? They got Miami, who hadn't been at home. You know, the Dolphins hadn't been at home in
after
like
6 weeks. After the big Chargers win, they got the Jags after
Jacksonville,
London.
Coming back without a bye from London, coming off a huge blowout. And they had the Browns, who were the worst team in the NFL again.
Who happened to dominate them, actually. Yeah. We're in the red zone 22 times.
Sure, exactly. So quarterback-wise, you know, they've just faced Jay Cutler, Blake Bortles, and DeShone Kizer / Kevin Hogan, and now they're facing Tom Brady. I'll just put it this way. The Jets' winning streak comes to an end on Sunday, and I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Rams and Jags, and that's saying something because Teddy doesn't like laying points normally. Rams and Jags, real interesting football game to me, this one. You know, I'm curious to see how the Rams offense, you know, I'm not one of these people. I don't think the Rams are frauds or anything like that, but, you know, that Rams defense gives up a lot of points. And I'm wondering right now, if you look at their road games, they played against San Francisco in the game that you mentioned earlier on a Thursday nighter, in-state, half-empty stadium. They went to Dallas. I've said it a million times, man. Dallas is like the Michigan Big House. It might be big, but it's not intimidating to play there. And it's not a hostile road environment, per se. This is the biggest home game for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'd argue, since the Mark Brunell era. Like, seriously, like they're... If you're a Jag fan, you're like, wow, we're 3-2. We're competing for first place. Let's go to the game, man. This is going to be crazy. You know, like, it's going to be a madhouse there on Sunday. I'm looking forward to this contrast of young upstart teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And the winner is put themselves in real good position in their division for a couple of squads that have, you know, a lot of potential this season. But – you know, my handicap of Jacksonville comes down to one thing and one thing only. When the Jags can run the football and rely on their defense, they're going to be fine. When Blake Bortles has to make plays, when they fall behind,
they're
dead.
That's the key. Do the Rams get out to a 14-0 lead and the Jags are screwed? Jags get an early 7-0 touchdown, running the ball down their throat. Jags are going to roll.
Great opportunity for in-game wagering, potentially, in this one.
Good call. To see how the early minutes go, the tempo and who's playing from behind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on Jacksonville. Bortle threw one pass in the second half last week.
That's one more than Marone wants him to throw.
Exactly. And then the Jags will win games. Their defense and running game are capable of winning
games. Yeah, but that's like Navy. That's like Navy football and Army and the old school Oklahoma, Nebraska days. We're running every down. Try to stop it. It wears out the line. It's demoralizing for the other team too, Teddy. I like the old school. I was one of the few people when Allen Robinson got hurt. We got to get out of here, Teddy. When Allen Robinson got hurt, I said, you know what? That's a good thing for Jacksonville. And people were like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? I said, it's one less opportunity to make a mistake. It just simplifies things. Just run the ball every damn play. Yeah, it works.
It certainly did last week. But one thing with L.A., you know, they faced Dallas and Seattle the last couple of weeks. They faced a couple of balanced offenses.
I know.
The Jags have stepped down in class.
And, you know, the Rams lost last week, but it was turnovers. They didn't play poorly. We got to get out of here, Teddy. It's always a pleasure, my man. Check out Teddy's videos daily, sportsbookreview.com, SBR YouTube page. He's got picks over. It covers experts, sportsmemo.com. Always a pleasure, Teddy.
Cheers. Have a great weekend.
Ted Savransky. With us. All right, we'll take a quick break. We talk some fantasy football. Jake Seeley next.
Hey, fantasy nerds, here's a question for you. What do Mozzarella Sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some fantasy football from a DFS perspective for tonight and then from a general fantasy perspective for the weekend. Let's bring in one of the best in the business, the All-In Kid. You can follow him on Twitter at the All-In Kid. I don't know, was accuracy expert taken actually on Twitter?
No, it's just All-In Kid was a long time before that started.
You've been the All-In Kid your whole life then. Jake's been All-In. On Twitter, and of course you hear him with Chris Meany and Joe Pizzapia, who was with us on yesterday's program, Monday to Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can hear me and Cam at 8 o'clock nightly, Red Eat and Rage Radio. So let's jump right in here, Jake, with tonight's football game. Talking about Cam Newton, man, unbelievable performance the last 2 weeks that he's strung together. Arguably, the best, I think it's the best two-game run statistically of his career, actually.
It definitely is so far, and he looks back the Cam old, and that's the best part about it. That's why I'm buying right back into him. I think the price is very nice if you're looking at tonight, if you're playing them Monday, Thursday slate, and it's like he looks like the old Cam Newton, the one that was out there free and clear and not worried about his shoulder, and he's throwing the ball well, and he's running the ball, too, on top of it. He just looks like he's out there, and he's going to do what he needs to do to win the game, and that's what the bigger concern before this was. It looked like you're trying to bottle up. Go back to – I know he's a different quarterback than Robert Griffin, but go back to Robert Griffin when they were trying to force him to play in the pocket. This is kind of a similar situation. You were asking him to play an uncomfortable role, basically.
You can tell earlier in the season, I brought it up earlier, every time he got hit, it looked real bad. He wasn't mobile. He was very ginger out there. He looked like he was breaking down. He's back to his old MVP self now physically. The way he looks, his posture, standing, the strength, his confidence level. You can tell it's sort of coming back. And the numbers we talk about, guys, the last 2 weeks, 48 of 62, 771 yards, 6 touchdowns the last 2 football games. And you know what? Carson Wentz is a good fantasy quarterback, too. But, you know, Cam Newton's $100 more, $6,700. And this Eagles defense, only the Saints and the Patriots give up more per pass attempt here, Jake. They're giving up 8.6 yards per clip. So, which leads me into the wide receivers here tonight. Are you buying what Funchess is selling right now? Does this continue? Because he's been on fire.
Yeah, I've been banging the table for him as soon as Greg Olsen got hurt, ever since then. Because the fact is, this is not only Funchess is a big body wide receiver, and that's what Cam likes, because he's been doing this with Kelvin Benjamin for the past couple seasons, is the fact he kind of fills somewhat of the role that Greg Olsen left. And I keep liking it to Quincy Enunwa last year, that was playing that hybrid role for the Jets. And he's obviously a bigger wide receiver and a different wide receiver than Enunwa. The point is, he's doing what he does at wide receiver, but also absorbing some of what was left over. So it's that upside of he's getting targets every single week. Cam keeps looking to him in the red zone. I know he's gotten some breaks where he's been completely uncovered for whatever reason, but the fact is, week in and week out, he's actually been their best receiver. I like him more than Kelvin Benjamin. I ranked him higher than Kelvin Benjamin for last week, again this week. I think he's become a very consistent option, despite the fact people don't want to like him. You can't ignore what he's been doing.
You know, I was going to ask you if I'm going to play one of them tonight. So, and you know what? Funch is a little bit cheaper, too. The price, pricing points going up on him. Benjamin, too, though. You know, Benjamin's getting healthier and in better shape. He came in a little chunky, of course, this year. And he's been banged up a lot in his career, but he's sort of got a chip on his shoulder right now. They're mixing it up. But as far as the targets are concerned, like you mentioned, there's been more volume with Funchess over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you know what? If I'm playing in a tournament, I'd probably go to Benjamin, because there's going to be so many people that are going to go to Funchess because he is cheaper and because he's been the more consistent option.
What about a stack? What about a stack? Is that out of the question?
No, it's definitely not. I mean, you could definitely do a Cam, Funchess, and Benjamin stack. And if Cam's going to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns again, they're both going to be involved.
All right. From a Philadelphia perspective, what about Aguilar at $4,200? Are you buying into him?
No, I can see him from a tournament, and there's no way I'm touching him in cash. Aguilar, you see one great game, and then he disappears for two, and then another one, and he pops off here and there. And the fact is that the Carolina Panthers' secondary is actually playing quite well. And we've all seen the numbers by now with the Lane Johnson in and out of the lineup, what happened to Carson Wentz. I don't know if part of that was just the fact that Carson Wentz and the NFL adjusted to him last season, and he just dropped off. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt, but still hard to ignore those numbers. So I'm not really looking at much from the passing game from their side of things. If I had to, he would be the one I would go after, because Alshon Jeffery's just too high for what I'm concerned with tonight. I just know that Aguilar could get you 3 points and you're going to be screwed.
You know, Jake, I brought up those numbers with Lane Johnson so many times. I don't have them written out of my notes. And I'll tell you, Carson Wentz is 10-2 straight up with Lane Johnson, 20 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions, 2,776 yards, I believe. Quarterback rating of 99.9. Without him, he's 2-8 straight up. He's thrown 12 interceptions, only 6 touchdown passes. I don't know what his QB rating is without him. But the Vitae guy that nobody can say his name and none of us try, Vitae actually stepped up last week. There were no QB pressures, but this is a different scenario tonight. That is something to bring up. Zach Ertz, dude, I was on the Zach Ertz bandwagon early in the year, getting him for $3,500 and stuff. I don't mind putting two tight ends. I'll use a tight end as my flex often, Jake, if I see value with it in my million maker lineup. And, you know, so Ertz was just sort of a weekly play for me. But now you got to pay top dollar for him. Carolina does a good job, defending the tight end. But does anyone stop this guy? And from a betting perspective, Jake, the over-under for catches is 5.5 for Ertz tonight. How the hell do I not bet that over the number?
I don't know how you don't at this point. The fact is we always used to joke about it, Ertz doesn't show up until December. But finally, he's been there the entire year so far. He's the most reliable weapon beyond Alshon Jeffery. And Alshon Jeffery is more talented, but he's been the most consistent option. So I'm with you on this. It's hard to see Zach Ertz ever stopped. He's in that Travis Kelce discussion now. And for the price, he's fine for cash. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit tougher tournament if you want to go elsewhere and get a higher upside lineup. But I don't see a game where Zach Ertz is ever going to be left out at this point.
He's got 17 or more DK points in 4 or 5 football games. And the other one, he had like 14 DK. Like Wentz loves him. It's his guy. What about Dixon? Everyone loves the new tight end, right? The new kid on campus. And now here we got Ed Dixon, big dude. People just love guys like this. 5 for 5 last week, $3,000. Was that just an anomaly?
Well, that was the Lions playing this defense called Let's Not Guard Ed Dixon. I don't understand what it was. I don't understand why they were doing it, but I'll liken it to one thing. Was anybody jumping on Mercedes Lewis after that insane game in London?
Yeah.
This is the same thing.
Yeah, good call. Good call right there. Okay, so week 6 sleepers that you're taking a look at. Let's talk about some of the rankings. Seems like there's a lot of options this week with sort of mismatches, right? You know, good teams playing bad teams, a lot of big point spreads type of deal. One game that's intriguing, and it's funny because the Lions are a really trendy team. They didn't play well last week. And now suddenly the New Orleans Saints, all the bettors, Jake. Oh, the Saints were up to 6-point favorites earlier. I'm thinking, really? You guys watch the Saints play defense ever? I mean, it's going to be a close football game. But no one, not a lot of people are talking about Matt Stafford right now after the fantasy numbers have cooled off last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I find it interesting, too, because I have some stats for you. He's coming out of the bye since 2008. Drew Brees is averaging 362 yards, 3.2 touchdowns. When he comes out and he's at in a dome or at home, it's 384 yards and 3.6 touchdowns per game. He's going to force the issue, which means Stafford is going to have to get out of his shell, which his shell so far to date has been the fact that they've been running the ball more and getting a better balance, which is fine for their offense and fine for their team. But when you have Drew Brees putting up those numbers, if you come and try to play this balanced run control game, you are the bettors are going to be completely off too, because you're going to lose by 20. So they're going to have to pass more this week. It is a favorable matchup. Despite the fact the Saints have been getting after the quarterback, Stafford can easily come out and throw for 300 and two or three touchdowns of his own any given week.
It sucks. We only have 30 seconds left. I want to get your take on the Chiefs and how they're going to approach this with Travis Kelce out most likely here. One guy, this is a real dart, guys, all right? But I'm telling you, he's going to be 0.0.1% owned. DeMarcus Robinson.
DeMarcus Robinson.
They love him. They're raving about him. He's going to be on the field, guys. Could get a touchdown, dude. You never know, Jake.
Big guy, athletic guy. It's going to have to be somebody, although I would – this is a huge dart throw. I would stay away from most of the offense.
Hey, you got to take a gamble. Come on, a couple of bucks. Yeah. I'm gonna get him in a lineup. Check out
Kareem
James.
Kareem Hunt might get 200 yards.
I'm down. Yeah. Hey, good stuff. Always a pleasure, Jake.
Oh, thanks.
There's Jake Seeley with us. Check him out at 4 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Some great stuff on the radio side of things. We do good work on TV, but radio, especially the late night hours, man, Tony Cicada's killing it too. We're going to come back. Joe Lisi next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Let's talk some college football on the Fantasy Sports Television Network right now with a man that we break it down with every Saturday morning with Rich Sermonello, College Football Today. It's 9 o'clock until noon. I joined the boys with my best bets of the day, and college football is going to start really getting very interesting in a couple of days. And actually, you know what? Starting tomorrow night. Tonight we have a sort of could be a fun game tonight. We got Texas State and ULL. Actually, guys, I just said the total was 55 and a half. It's 55 for the guys in the booth. We're going to add it. It's 55. Texas State and ULL. Let's bring in Joe Lisi right now. GoForTheTwo.com. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Gabe, looking forward to another great week, number 7 of the college football season. Great matchups across the board.
All right, let's just quickly blast through this football game. Texas State, one of the worst teams on TV ever. But Texas State and ULL tonight, good opportunity, I think, for the Cajuns to flex their muscles and put some points on the board. It's an ugly game. They're bad teams. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I would take the over, but I like Texas State as a live dog here. Just from a defensive perspective, only giving up 143 rushing yards on the ground. This is their Super Bowl. Played much better last week against UL Monroe. I would take the 14.5, 15 points with Texas State later tonight.
Yeah, it's a good point. One thing that you bring up, they're going to be fired up. Yeah, it's only on ESPNU or whatever it is, but nevertheless, it's an ESPN game. We saw South Alabama treat it like a Super Bowl last night against Troy. It's a good point that you raised. Texas State will be fired up. And I tell you, the Cajuns are tough to lay points with in this spot. because they're just not very good. But Texas State really are that bad. I think there will be a lot of points put up on the board in this game. Clemson and Syracuse. You know, it's funny. I was on Syracuse last week against Pitt, and they didn't look very good in the first half, but they ended up pulling away in the football game. But I really wasn't overly impressed with Syracuse, to be honest with you. It's 22.5 points, though. Clemson don't really take weeks off, but Dabo Sweeney doesn't really run scores up either. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I would lean Clemson here. I mean, just from a defensive perspective, holding opposing offenses to 165 passing yards per game and 27% on third down conversions, I like Clemson. The only question mark I have is Kelly Bryan, his health heading into this matchup. If Clemson jumps up early, do they pull Kelly Bryan out in the third or fourth quarter to preserve him from a health perspective? That's the only concern I have with Clemson later tomorrow night.
Yeah, and if you're laying 22.5 points, guys, so think about it. Clemson could be winning by 28 points in the fourth quarter. You know, it could be 35-7. Let's say it's 42-14. They're in the fourth quarter. Dabo Sweeney can say, all right, man, I got bigger things to worry about right now than covering this number. Boom. Syracuse scores a late touchdown. They lose by 21. You lose your bet. So it's a dangerous game to be laying 22.5 on the road. Clemson could name their score and kill him if they wanted to. As I stated, winning by 23 is difficult on the road. Be careful of that. But we'll break this game down in its entirety with Steve Merrill tomorrow. Let's talk about Wazoo and Cal. I'm calling upset alert on this one. I am going to play a little bit on the money line here. I think the Cal can beat these guys. I think Washington State are due for a crashing thud letdown. There's no way in hell I'd be laying the 14, 15 points in this spot in this football game. Washington State have played great football. I'm not taking anything away from them, but Cal getting back home right now after a couple of, they were in tough spots, Cal. They went to Oregon. They got beat up by Washington. They're going to be more comfortable back at home right now. I think this game's going to be a close one.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. It is back-to-back road games for Washington State, but I like the Cougars here. They won this matchup 56-21 last year. They're holding opposing offenses to 146 passing yards per game. They have 21 sacks on the year, and I like the way Luke Falk is playing, completing 71% of his passes. I think the Cougars roll in this matchup.
All right, I'll disagree with you on this one. I'm going to stick with the Cal Golden Bears, and like I stated, we'll break it down tomorrow with Steve Merrill once again. This game we probably won't hit with Merrill tomorrow, so we'll get Joe's take on this one. TCU's laying 6 at K-State. K-State were a very trendy team coming into the year. People have sort of given up on them right now after losing to Vandy and then the Texas loss, but I think this is a dangerous game for Texas Christian as well. They've handled their business. But the collar starts to tighten as the year goes on, Joe. So this is a dangerous road game for TCU. And, we should note, it's expected to be really bad weather. Windy, nasty rain in Manhattan.
Yeah, great points. I was not high on K-State entering this year. I thought they would be 5-7 overall, and TCU lost this ball game in Fort Worth 30-6 last year. But I still like the speed of TCU. They're holding opposing offenses to 104 rushing yards on the ground, plus 4 in turnover margin, and in my opinion, have the more athletic quarterback in Kenny Hill. I like TCU to cover this number on the road in Manhattan.
I don't trust Hill on a weekly basis. I think he's due to stumble. We'll debate this game Saturday morning, Ashley. I'll be ready to go.
Let's do it.
Hey, always a pleasure, Joe.
Hey, great show, Gabe. Anytime, see you Saturday.
Joe Lisi with us. Check him out Saturday morning, 9 o'clock on the radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Sports Television Network, Dish Network Channel 266. It's 9 to 12. I join him at 10:39 and 11:39 with my best bets of the day. And speaking of which, we'll return with our best bets of the day. We got a lot of them.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right. It's time for our plays of the day. And, man, we got a lot of picks. So let's get down to business. Let's start off in the National Football League. I think the Carolina Panthers are back on track. The last 14 teams to lose in a Super Bowl and then not make the playoffs the following year have all made the playoffs the year after that, which means the Carolina Panthers are going to win tonight. and they're going to the playoffs. All kidding aside, I think the Panthers do get it done tonight. We're going to lay it in three. Let's go over the number 44.5. I think it's going to be an aerial attack tonight, guys. Carson Wentz, over 22.5 completions. Carson Wentz, I think the passing prop's too low at 248.5 yards, and you guys know I generally don't do the yards. Let's go Cam Newton, over 21.5 completions. Dude's throwing the ball. He's healthy right now. 255, too low. Eagles give up exactly 255. They also give up 8.6 yards per pass attempt. Let's go over the number. Zach Ertz is the guy's a target machine, man. Let's go over 5.5 receptions. Small play, long field goal over 44.5. It's not cashing as much as it used to. Major League Baseball, Nationals finally don't choke in a big game. I like the fact they're going to be able to bring Max Scherzer in. Give me the Nationals minus 110. Let's go no run in the first inning, minus 145. National Hockey League, let's keep riding those St. Louis Blues as underdogs, baby, plus 110. Keep it to Buffalo Sabres in San Jose. What? Why? Buffalo absolutely own them, all right? They've won 10 of the last 12 times they played against San Jose. They always win there. D-Gen football, lay the points of ULL, and it goes over the number. May the winners be yours.